Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Dalet. And we begin towards the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. Let's quickly remind ourselves yesterday that we brought down a Shita from Abaye, who said, in the name of Rav Nachman, today we're going to have a Shita of Rava in the name of Rav Nachman. So we remind ourselves yesterday, Abaye said in the name of Rav Nachman, that when we're dealing with the Amma in regards to a Sukkah, or the Amma in regards to a Mavui, we're dealing with an Amma that has five Tvachim in it. And when we're dealing with the Amma of Kilayim, we're dealing with an Amma that has six Tvachim in it. And we explained yesterday that this goes L'chumra in each of these cases, and there were exceptions to the rule, and that was yesterday's opinion, Abaye Mishmei de Rav Nachman. Today we're going to have a different opinion. We're going to have Rava in the name of Rav Nachman. So we begin in the Gemara, on Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Rava Mishmei de Rav Nachman says, no, Omar, call Amos, be Amos Bas Shisha. All the Amos that we're dealing with are six Tvachim Amos. Not like yesterday Abaye said that by Kilayim it's six Tvachim, but by Mavoy and Sukkah they're five Tvachim, but Rava in the name of Nachman says we're dealing all over here with Amma that is measured with six Tvachim. So what's the difference? Ela halo sochakos vihalolu atzevos. Says on the side that this is talking about the etzbos, the fingers, when they're called sochakos, they're stukos, which means that marvachos kiderech hasochik, they're a little bit apart, like a person smiling. And atzevos are sad, they're tight together. And that is the slight difference over here between the tefachim that we're talking about to make up an amma. Whether the etzbos, which make up the tefach, which make up the amma, are tightly pressed together, or there is a little bit of space in between them. Now, we've mentioned many times, most people, when they put their hand out, they say that's the four fingers besides the thumb, that's a tefach. That's absolutely incorrect. A tefach is actually four thumbs that are next to each other. So, whether they're tightly pressed to each other, then they're called atzevos. If they're somewhat looser, some light can get in between them, so then they're called sochakos. And that's what Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman we're talking about in this situation when we say that they're all bas sheish amos, but some of them are going to be sochakos and some of them are going to be atzevos. Now, these are the two shitas. We have Abaye, which we spent a lot of time in the last half of yesterday shared discussing Rav Nachman, and just very briefly now, we started and introduced the shita of Rava in the name of Rav Nachman. So we're now going to question Abaye's version from yesterday, Meisveh. We're now going to bring a brisa that seems to contradict what Abaye said. Abaye said again that when you're dealing with the mavoi or the sukkah, you're dealing with a five tefach amma. And this brisa seems to say no. Call amos shamu chachamim bi'amma bashisha. All the ammas that we're dealing with are always going to have six tefachim, and the exception is buvad. We turn to dalet amud aleph shloyu muchuvanos, that they shouldn't be exact. Now, what does that mean? Shouldn't be exact, Rashi says. The Gemara is now going to tell us. That it means that you're always using a six tefach amma, but sometimes you use the slightly wider six tefach amma, which would be by kilayim, and sometimes use the tighter six tefach amma, because the etzbos are tighter together by a very small amount. They're going to be a little bit smaller, and that's in regards to mavui and sukkah. So this works out very well according to what Rava said, that they're all six tefach amas. Bishlam al Rava ki hechli they'll have yon halolu sochakos v'halolu etzav etzavos. So this works out very, very well according to Rava, because he says they're all six amos. Now, doesn't work out well according to Abaye. El Abaye kasha, because he said that sukkah and mavui are five tefach amos. Where it says, Amalach Abaye would say, no, Ema Amas Kilayim bi Ama Bas Shisha. This brisa that we just brought down, you had it wrong. It's not saying that all Amos are six Tvachim Amos. It means all Amos within Kilayim are six Tefach Amos, which Abaye said yesterday, that was his Shita as well. Where it says, but keep on reading. If you read the rest of this brisa, the brisa then tells us that the Tanakhama said that they're all six tvachim, and along comes Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, kol amos sh'amru chachomim b'kilayim b'amma bashisha. He specifically states, Rav Shimon Gamliel, that it's only that the amma of kilayim is six amma, ubavad shlo yu mitzum tzavos, but even within kilayim, some of them are going to be sochakos, and some of them are going to be atzevos. That implies that Rav Shimon Gamliel says that it's only Kilayim that has the six tefach amma rule, Michlal, but the Tanakhama is Sover, Kol Amos Kamar, that he holds that in fact it's talking about not only Kilayim, he's also talking about Sukkah and Mavoy, and that's a direct kasha on Abaye. So Gemara says, you're right, Tako, Amalach Abaye says, yeah, V'lav Miko Rav Shimon Gamliel, Dekoy Kavasi, Okay, I can't hold like the Tanakhama, but I certainly can hold like Rosh Gamliel, who says it's talking about the Am of Kilayim. So therefore, I hold like that. I know the Am of Rosh Gamliel. You're right, I don't hold like the Tanakhama, but I hold like Rosh Gamliel. So why do you give me a hard time? I have a Tana, Rosh Gamliel, that is my Shita. So Gemara says, therefore, La Baye Vaday Tanai. According to Abaye, the only way to learn this Brisa is in the Samachlokas, the Tanakhama versus Rosh Gamliel. The Tanakhama holds like Rava, suggested in the name of Rav Nachman, and Rosh Gamliel holds like Abaye said in the name of Rav Nachman. So clearly, he has to hold that this is a machlokas tanoi between the Tanakhama and Rosh Gamliel. But that's only according to Abaye. L'Rava, Milema Tanoi. Who says that there's a machlokas over here? Maybe Rosh Gamliel is coming to explain the Tanakhama. On Loch Rava, Rava is saying, Rabbi Rosh Gamliel, Ha'osali Ashma'inon, Amas Kilayim, Lo Yitzamsein. He was just adding on and saying, even when you're dealing with the six Amma in regards to Kilayim, it should not always be the same. Sometimes it'd be sochakos when it's lechumra, and sometimes it'd be atzevos when it's lechumra. Where it says, well, if this were true, then I would have read the brayse a little bit differently. The lema amas kilayim lo yitzamtim. I would have just said that read Rav Shimon Gamliel as saying amas kilayim lo yitzamtim. Don't be mitzamtim with the amma of kilayim. Why did he then go on and add be amma bas shisha? Be amma bas shisha lemutimai. What did that come to add? Lav, Limute, Amas, Sukkah, Yamas, Mavi. Wasn't that to say just like the Tanakhama as opposed to Mavi and Sukkah, which we're dealing with a five Tefachama? So Gemara says, no. Well, not necessarily. You know what is coming to exclude? Not Sukkah and Mavi, but there are other cases, for example, in the Beis HaMikdash, where we sometimes used a six Tefachama. Limute, Amo, Yisov, Yamas, Sovev. That there, in regards to the Yisod of the Mizbeach and the Sovev of the Mizbeach, which we'll talk about in a moment what part of the Mizbeach they were, there you're dealing with five Tefachama, and the rest of the Mizbeach is a six Tefachama. So that's why you have to say that it's talking about by Kilayim, by Amma Bashisha, because some other places, not Mavoy and Sukkah, but some other places deal with a five Tefachama. And where is this seen from? The Siv. It says the Pasuk in Chesko, where it talks about the Adam Mizbeach. Now, the Adam Mizbeach, let's understand the structure. You can see diagrams of this both in the Art Scroll, as well as in the Illustrated Gemara, as well as in the Pirush Chai. And basically, if you look at it from a bird's eye point of view, the Adam Mizbeach had a base that was one Amma tall, thick, and it was 32 Amma by 32 Amma. Now, it wasn't actually filled all the way around the 32 Amma, but let's look at it right now as a square. There was 32 Amma by 32 Amma. And it was one Amma high. If you look at it from a bird's eye view, you then added the next part of the Mizbeach, which was five Amma tall on top of that. But it wasn't 32 by 32. It was 30 by 30. So now you're going to have an indentation all the way around this block that is five Amma tall and 30 by 30. And that's going to be the Yesod. The bottom layer, which was 32 by 32, is the Yesod. And you're going to have an area that you walk around because it's one Amma wider on every side. And that's the Yesod that you're walking around on. Then you add another block, a three Amma high block that you put on top of the second five Amma block. And that's also indented one Amma. So instead of being 30 by 30, it's going to be 28 by 28 Amma. And that block is placed down. Now, when looking at it from a bird's eye view, you now have another ledge called the Sovev that's going to go that one Amma that's wider from the five Amma block that is wider, one Amma all the way around, than the 28 by 28 Amma block that's on top of it. And that area where you walk around, that one Amma is called the Sovev. Now, we have one, five, and three, where a total of nine Amma tall of the Mizbeach. The top area of the Mizbeach was flat, except the four corners each had an Amma by an Amma by an Amma keren. So in each corner, you reached up to 10 Amma total height from the bottom all the way to the top. And this one Amma by one Amma by one Amma keren was in the corner, all four corners of the top of the Mizbeach. Now we'll understand the Pasuk in Yechezkel, where it says, Eilu midos ha-mizbeach, the following one of the midos of the Mizbeach, but Amos, in general, they were measured with the Amma, that is Amma, Amma v'tofach, that is measured as a regular Amma of the five Tzvachim, with one Tefach above it, meaning six Tzvachim. So, parts of the Mizbeach, they're going to be measured with the six Tefach Amma, but other parts are going to be measured with the five Tefach Amma. What are those other parts? The Cheik ha-Amma, the Amma Rochav, there's going to be the Cheik, and what we're calling the Rochav, they're going to be the five Tefach Amma. We'll see, this is referring to the Yesod, the bottom part, and the Sovev, the block that was 5 amah tall that then had the 1 amah around it that it was wider than the block that was 3 amah tall above it. So again, you can see this in all of the diagrams that I mentioned, the art scroll, the Pirush Chai, and the illustrated Gemara, to see if it's very hard to talk this out without seeing it. A picture's worth 1,000 words. So when you see this, you'll see that there are certain parts that are going to be 6 tefach amah, and there are certain parts that are going to be the 5 tefach amah. The 5 tefach amah are going to be the Yesod and the Soved, and the rest will be 6 tefach amah, with the exception of the Keren, which will also be a 5 tefach amah, as we'll see. Then it says in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Gvula el sifaso soviv zereso echad, v'zeh gavim mizbeach. So these other parts are going to be darshened as well. So what are we darshening here? The Gemara says, Chayk, Ha'ama, that chek is referring to Zei Yisod, that was the bottom, and that's using a 5 tefach amah. V'yama rochav, that's a reference to the Sove, that's also using a 5 tefach amah. Ugvula el sefas soviv elu akronos, that's referring to the keren at the top. Now, this is also a 5 tefach amah, but it's referred to over here as using a zeres echad. What does that mean, zeres echad? Zeres is a half of an amah. Now, it means if you look at the keren as a circle that is inscribed within a square, so that circle is going to have a radius of a half of a tefach, because its diameter is going to be a full tefach. And if you have a zeres as the radius, so then it's going to be a 5 tefach amah, that is the entire amah over here. So half of an amah would be the radius, the full amah is the diameter, and that full amah is a 5 tefach amah. So therefore, that's what each keren is. It's going to be 1 amah by 1 amah of a 5 tefach amah. And then finally, the last part of the pasuk in Cheskel is darshan. This is the gav mizbeach. We're referring to over here, sem mizbeach hazov. This is the inner mizbeach that also uses the 5 tefach amah. The inner mizbeach was much, much smaller. It was amah v'chetzi rochvo v'amah v'chetzi komosal. So it was a 1.5 amah. In its length, and 1.5 amah tall, which we'll discuss more in a moment about the height here. We'll see it later on the shir. That will be important to remember as well. In any event, all of these 4 areas, the Yesod, the Sovev, the Keren, and the Mizbeach Hazov, the inner Mizbeach, all used a 5 tefach amah. But the rest, we're using the 6 tefach amah, and that is what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is referring to when he's qualifying the statement of the Tanna Kamma. So according to Rava, there's not necessarily a machlokas over here. According to Abaya, as we said, there's definitely a machlokas. The Gemara continues and discusses some other aspects that are related to what we just discussed. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Rav Chiya bar Ashi says the name of Rav. Shiurin, certain types of shiurim of measurements. Chatzitzin, something that is a chatzitza, what's called an interposition, an interruption, a separation between, let's say, going into a mikveh and the body, or mechitzin, or something that is a mechitza, a wall, a partition. These are all halach l'Moshe v'Sinai, something about them. These are all d'oraisas that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, and we don't have a pasuk to support them. These are called halach l'Moshe v'Sinai. That's what these 3 things are, shiurim, chatzitzin, and mechitzos, according to Rav Chiya bar Ashi, who said this in the name of Rav. Gemara really is going to now question each of these, to say that they're not halacha l'Moshe v'Sinai. Each of them has an actual derivation from psukim. So the Gemara starts off and says, shiurin d'oraisahu. How can you tell me that shiurin halacha l'Moshe v'Sinai? We have from last week's parsha, in Parshas Ekev, where it tells us the famous pasuk, d'chsiv, the pasuk says, Eretz chito sorav v'gomer, which continues, Eretz chito sorav v'gefen, teina v'rimon, Eretz, Eitz, Zeis, Shemen, Udivosh. So each of these 7 minim of Eretz Yisrael is going to darshan out one of these, each of these 7 species for a certain shear. So what is that? Yom Rav Chanan, Rav Chanan says, Kol pasuk zeh l'shiur nemar. Every one of the things in this pasuk is to teach us a d'orais a shear. So for example, chita, what's the shear the chita teaches us? L'chidit nan, like we learned in a Mishnah in Negoyim. Ha'nichnas l'beis ha'menuga, if a person enters into a house that has a nega. There are different types of tsaras. There's tsaras of a person, there can be tsaras of clothing, and there could be tsaras of a house. So we're not familiar with this, obviously, practically, halacha l'maisa, but we're familiar with this as a concept from the Torah. So the Torah tells us that a house that has a nega on it is matame a person, and matame things that enter into the house. So if a person goes into the house, v'kelov al ksefov, The person enters into this house that has a nega on it, and he is carrying clothing on his shoulders, not wearing it. And he's holding in his hand his shoes or sandals and rings. He's holding them. He's not wearing them. On the side, the gear says, the shoes are in his hand, and the rings that he has are in his fist. In any event, he's carrying them. He's not wearing them. In this situation, as soon as he enters into the Beis HaManuga, he becomes Tomei, and they become Tomei instantaneously. By entering into the Beis HaManuga, they are now all Tomei. However, if he enters into the Beis HaManuga while he's wearing clothing, Hayolavush Caleb, he's wearing his shirt, he's wearing his pants, the Sandlov Biraglov, and he's wearing his sandals, the Tabosov Biatzbiosov, and he has the rings on his fingers. In other words, if he's wearing any item of clothing, Hu Tomei Miyad, he becomes immediately Tomei as a person. However, they remained tahorim, the utensils that he's wearing, the clothing he's wearing, the shoes, the rings that he's wearing, they only become tamei if he stays in that Beis HaManuga for the amount of time that it would take to eat an achilas pras. A pras means half of a shear. Half of what shear? Half of a shear of two sudos that are needed for an eriv. So this amount is a machlokas Rambam and Rashi throughout Shas. The Rambam says that the full shear is six beitzim. It's three beitzim for the pras, for the one suda. Pras is one suda of the two sudas. And Rashi sheet is it's eight beitzim, which would mean that the pras, the half, one suda, is four beitzim. In any event, the amount of time that it would take a person to eat this much food, if he stays inside there, what's known, the famous shir, kidei achilas pras, right? We have many, many halacha maisa ramifications of this shir, in terms of you have to eat a certain amount within a kidei achilas pras in order to bench, to do a certain mitzvah, to eat matzah, has to be kidei achilas pras on Pesach night. So that's a famous shir of kidei achilas pras. How long is this shir? So it's the amount of time that it would take you to eat one meal of the two meals of the Erev. So to eat pras is half, which is one meal. And what type of food are we talking about? Paschitin. It's wheat bread, the low pasorim. Wheat bread is better bread, a higher quality bread, and therefore a person is going to not wait as long to eat wheat bread as he would barley bread, which is more difficult to digest, more difficult to chew and bring down. So it's talking about wheat bread. That's the shear of chita, lo pas orin, and not pas orin. While he's mesiv, while he's sitting down, a person will eat faster while he's sitting down. The ochel, and likewise, he's eating it beliftin. He's eating with some sort of a condiment, some sort of a relish with it, a dip with it, which also makes it go down faster. So this is the shear for which chita is being brought down in this pasuk for to tell us the shear of kidei achilas pras. How long does it take to eat the chilas pras? It's talking about wheat bread that's eaten while you're sitting down with some sort of condiment, with some sort of relish that you're dipping it into. And if you stay inside the Beis HaManuga for that amount of time, so then the clothing that you're wearing also become tamei. That's what the word chita in the pasuk tells us. Sora, what's the word sora alluding to? What shir d'araisa? Did not. We also learn in the mission olos, the etzem kisora, when you have a person, Rachman al-San, who's dead, so his body's metame. Now, if there's a kizayis, or if you have a certain amount of bones that are present, so then it's going to be metame, not only b'maga and masa, but it's also going to be metame tumas ohel. Now here, you don't have enough to be metame tumas ohel, but if you have the size of a bone, that's the size of a kisora, like a barley seed, so then it is going to be metame b'maga b'masa. It's metame if you touch it, if metame if you carry it, even if you're not touching it. So that's the shear by sora. However, since you don't have enough to kizayis, or you don't have a certain amount of the rove or the binyan of the skeletal system, even if it's less than a kizayis, so then it's not going to be tami to us all. That's what you need sora for. It teaches the din of etzem kisora. Gefen, what do we need gefen for? Kidei revius yayin lenazir, to teach us that if a nazir has a revius of wine, so then the nazir is going to get malchus if he drinks a revius of wine. We turn to the Amud Beis. We continue dashing the pasuk te'ena. What's the purpose of telling us in the pasuk figs te'enim? So that's coming to teach us kigro geres lotzor Shabbos. We just went through Masechta Shabbos, the beautiful Masechta that taught us that the minimal shear for most things to carry on Shabbos is if you carry out the size of a dried fig, a gro geres, a dried fig. That's going to be an issa for which you get malchus for, yachayev achatis for on Shabbos. What's the next word in the pasuk? Rimon. So Rimon comes to teach us kididan. We also have this in Shabbos. We have this in many places as well, but this is the Mishnah in Kalim. Kol klei bali batim shiron kirimonim. A kli is only called the kli if it's still functional. If a kli has a small hole in it, it still is functional. At what point is the kli with holes in it no longer considered functional? If the holes are big enough that a rimon will fall through it. Once the hole is big enough that a rimon can fall through it, even the balabais is going to throw it away. Otherwise, they'll say, normally, if it has a little hole in it, okay, so I can't put water in it, but I'll go put rimonim in it. I'll go put pomegranates in it. I'll put something else in it. And once the hole is big enough that he can't even put rimonim in it, he's going to throw it away. He said, it's worthless. So that's what we need the shear for rimonim for, to tell me when a kli no longer is halachically considered a kli. Then the pasuk continues, Eretz Zei Shemen. Now we have the Girsa Udvash over here, but it's in parentheses, and it says on the side that we should delete it over here. That's where in the Gemara and Brachos it's deleted, because we're not yet up to dashing the word Dvash. We're really dashing now the word over here, Eretz Zei Shemen. By the way, the Gemara in Brachos taught us, why did it have to say Eretz over here? That has to do in a hierarchy of making Brachos, which of these comes first if you have all of them in front of you and you want to make a bracha on one of them to be motzi the others, so which one should come first? It's the one that's closest to Eretz. That's why Eretz is written again over here. In any event, that's not related to our din, but it's an important din in general. So, Eretz Zei Shemen, what does the Shemen come to teach us? A land that makes Shemen. So, the Gemara says, Eretz Shekol Shira Kizaisen, that the land has all the Shira Makizais. It says, Kol Shira, Sol Kedaita, really, all Shurim? He just went through a whole bunch that aren't Kizaisim. Kizaisim. But Yiko Hani Diamond, we just said Chita, we said Sora. So what are you telling me, Kizais? So Gemara says, no, it means Ella, Ema Eretz, Shiro, Shira, Kizaisim. Kizais is a basic Shir. So most things, 80% of Shurim are Kizais. Yeah, of course, others, as we just brought down. But it means Eretz, Rov Shira Kizaisim. Fine, that's the Darish thing of the word Shemen. And what's Dvash, the last of the words here? Kikosevis Agasel Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippur, the shear for which a person will get Malkus, who would get Rechmon Slan Kareis, if he did it on purpose, if you eat on Yom Kippur, it would be a Kikosevis Agasa. This is a certain size date, a larger date than the normal size date, Agasa, a larger one. And this is the amount of shear that the Torah is telling us removes the Inui, the affliction that you're supposed to have on Yom Kippur. So if you eat this amount, you have removed the Inui, and you're going to be Chayev Malkus or Chayev Rachman Atzlan Kares. So how can you tell me that Shiurim are Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai? We conclude the question. You see that this Pasuk has seven different Shiurim. They're all basis for them in the Torah. Shmuel says, no, that's not right. B'tizbara. You think the Shiurim and Michtavei Ksiva, you think these are the sources really for the Shiurim? No. The Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai told us all the Shiurim. Elochus Aninu. And this pasuk isn't really the source. This is a great asmacht of Yasmachinu Rabbanan Akrai. The rabbi said, how can we remember all these halachos of Moshe Mishinai? Oh, we got this pasuk, and this pasuk will help us remember them. But the pasuk is not the source of this. The pasuk is only an asmacht. Actually, on the side, there's even another gear that it says that this is all midrabbanan, the shiurim, ukra asmacht of Yama, and the pasuk is totally an asmacht because it's not even a din daraisa. But we'll just learn it simple, that it's halachos of Moshe Mishinai, and that this pasuk is not the source, but the pasuk is an asmacht. Okay. That was the first one, Shurim. Then we said that Rav had said, it was said over the name of Rav, Ruchia bar Rav Ashi said over the name of Rav, the second one was Chatzitzin. So the Gemara says, Chatzitzin is also Daraisa Ninu. How can you tell me it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? It's also a din Daraisa. Where do we see this? The Siv. Now the Pasuk that we have is the incorrect Pasuk. It says, V'Rachatz es kol b'soro b'mayim. And on the side it says that's not the right Pasuk. It says it should be, V'Rachatz b'mayim es kol b'soro. And now we're going to dash in this Pasuk. The first part of the pasuk comes to tell me that there can't be anything interposing between you and the mikvah water, the mayan, the mikvah that you're going into. There can't be any chatzitza between you. So here you're telling me that this is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's based upon the pasuk. But mayim, that's a reference to the may mikvah. That if a person immerses in a mikvah, there can't be any interposition between him and the mikvah waters. Kol b'saro, it says, Ruchatz b'mayim es kol b'saro. What does that come to teach me? Kol b'saro. Mayim shekol gufo olabahen. The size of the mikvah, the shear of the mikvah has to be that his entire body could be immersed into it at one time. How much is that? V'kamahein? Where it says, Ama alama barom gimel amos. It would be the size of a cylinder that would be one ama in length, one ama in width, and three ama in height. So this cubic structure has to be able, a person can immerse his entire body in an amount of water. An average person who is going to be this height of three ama without his head, when he goes in there, that will go over his head. So this would be roughly 6 feet. So if an ama is a foot and a half, so this amount of water totally can enclose an average person's body, and therefore, b'shiru chachamim may mikvah memsaw, and the rabbis calculated that this is memsaw. So how can you tell me this is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? You see that you have a pasuk, v'rachatz b'mayim, it's called b'saro, teaching us this din of chatzitza, that you're not allowed to have anything interposing between you and the water. Shmuel says, no. Ki yitzdra chilchasa, there is a halacha l'mushvisiyani over here. That's telling me, l'sa'aro for your hair, uchad the rabba bar of Huna. And this goes in accord with the opinion of the rabba bar of Huna about hair. Hair can't be a chatzitza. I wouldn't know this from the pasuk. Why not? Because the Amar Rabba by Rav Huna, Rabba Huna taught us that Nima Achas, if you have a single hair, and it's Shura, and there's a knot in the single hair, Chotzetzes, that is going to be a Chatzitza. And that's what you need this Pasuk for, to teach me this din. Shalosh, Ein Chatzos, Chotzos. But if you have three hairs, so they're not going to be able to be tied so tightly together, and the water will be able to go in between them, that's not considered a Chatzitza. He says, Shtayim, any of that. I don't know if two is too tight, it's going to be an interposition, the water can't get in between it or not. So that's what we need this for. Oh, this Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai tells me that hair, if it's one hair that has a knot in it, that is going to be a chatzitza, Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai. Where it says, that's also a din d'oraisa that we have beferish in the pasuk. Saru nami d'oraisa. That can't be Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai because we learn in a braisa. The Tanya, the pasuk says, Ruchatz es kol b'saro. What's the extra word es? It could have said Ruchatz b'saro. It says Ruchatz es kol b'saro. So it says, es over here is hatofel b'saro. It means something that is tofel to the basar. And the item that is tofel to the basar is a reference to Vizel Seir. This is a reference to Seir. So when we have the pasuk, Ruchatz b'mayim es kol b'saro, that's really the pasuk again. So the es is teaching me Seir. So I have a pasuk for Seir, I have a pasuk for Chatzitza. How can you tell me Tzalach L'Moshe B'Sinai? So Gemara answers, Ki asoi hilchasa, the Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai in regards to Chatzitza is for the following din of Chatzitza that I don't have a pasuk for. And that is, we normally have two concepts to decide whether something makes a chatzitza. Lerubo ulamiyuto, does it cover the majority of the body or minority of the body? And then ulamakpit ulsheno makpit, is it something that you're concerned about, you're particular about, you don't want it there, or is it something you don't really care about? Uchad Rabbi Yitzchak, and this goes in accord with what Rabbi Yitzchak taught. What did Rabbi Yitzchak teach us? The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, Dvar Torah, mi da'araisa, based upon Torah law, in order for something to be chatzitza, it must cover up rubo, the majority of your body, umakpit olav. And you're not happy that it's there. You don't want it there. In that situation, when it has both of these characteristics, it's rubo and makbid, then it's chotzitz. It's halachically a chatzitza. However, if it doesn't have both of these components, she'eno makbid olav, if you're not makbid on it, midor ra'isa, eino chotzitz. It's not considered a chatzitza. And along come the chachamim, the gozra, rubo, she'eno makbid. The rabbi said, since it's something that if the majority over here were to be makbid, it would be chotzeit. So the rabbis made a gzera that even if you're not makbid, if it's on the majority, because we're rubo, sheino makbid, mishum rubo the makbid, because it's too similar. If it's on the majority of the body, so people aren't going to know the difference and understand, well, if you're makbid, it's chotzeit. If you're not makbid, it's not chotzeit. So the rabbis just said, if it's on the majority of the body, it's going to be chotzeit, whether you're makbid or not. Likewise, v'al miyuto hamakbid, they said, if it's a minority of the body, but you're makbid about it, they made exera there, mishum rubo hamakbid, because if it's the majority and you are makbid, it is chotzeis midaraisa. So therefore, even a minority that is makbid, they're going to make exera over here because of the majority, rubo hamakbid. So this is the din d'rabbanon, and the din d'araisa is rubo umakbid. Murray asks as an aside over here, what about Belingzer Nami al Miyuto Sheno Makbid? What about the minority that you're not Makbid on? Why didn't the rabbis make a Xeri here too? Mishun Miyuto Amakbid. They should make the Xeri Miyuto Sheno Makbid because of the Miyuto Amakbid, which we just said the rabbis made a Xeri on. Or alternatively, Inami Mishun Rubu Sheno Makbid. Or make it because of the robe that you're not Makbid on. So how come the rabbis didn't make a Xeri on Miyut Sheno Makbid? So the Gemara says, the whole Miyut she'eno makpid is going to be a gzera. Now, he, gufo gzera, the thing that you're making it to make a gzera to, itself was a gzera. The miyut hamakpid, or the rov, lo makpid, they themselves were gzeras. So now you want to make a gzera on the miyut she'eno makpid? Anan nekom v'nigzor gzera l'gzera? No. So therefore, we don't make that. Now, l'maisa, we actually are makpid on this as well. We are makpid even on a miyut she'eno makpid. But, in any event, this is the din d'oraisa that we have Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai about rubo umakpid, and then there are two dinim the rabbanon over here that were brought down for a miyut she'eno makpid or for a rov she'eno makpid. Fine. So this is the two additional gzeris that we have over here. Now the third question that we were brought down in the name of Rav was, he said mechitzos is also Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai. Shmuel says mechitzos d'oraisa ninu. Mechitzos are also din d'oraisa. Where do we see that? The Amar, because the pasuk tells us, this we alluded to earlier, we said that the Aron, the Mizbeach HaZob was Tisha Tvachim. I should point out, there's a very good thing for a person to remember throughout Shas. Whenever we have a masculine number, such as Tisha is a masculine number, surprisingly, because it has the hey at the end, so one would have thought it's a negative number, but Tisha is the negative number, feminine number, and Tisha is the masculine number. So, whenever you have Tisha, it always means Tvachim. Whenever you have a masculine number, it always means Tvachim. When you have a feminine number, let's say Tisha, it could mean Amos, or it could mean Etzbos. Now, usually you don't have to worry. You can figure out usually whether it's talking about an Etzba, which is a very small measure, or an Amo, which is a much larger measure. But you can often have a lack of clarity. It's unclear when you're dealing with a number, it means Tvachim or Amos. So if you look carefully, and sometimes the Gemara is not careful. The editors have made mistakes over time. That often the Rashash and others, they correct it. But if you look at the numbers carefully, if they're masculine numbers such as Tisha, it's referring to Tvachim. And if it's a feminine number, it's probably referring to an Amo, or could be referring to Etzbos, depending on the context. In any event, so the Aron, the ark which we put in the Luchos, and had some other things in there as well, according to some, had the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote in there. In any event, the Aron had a height Amor v'chetzi komoso. It had a height of 1.5 Amor. Now, this is Tisha Tvachim. If you say that an Amma has 6 Tvachim, so 1.5 would be 6 plus 3, which is 9. So the Aron's height was itself 9 Tvachim, and the Kaporis, which was like the cover on the top of it, was a thickness of a Tefach as well. So that's the 10 Tvachim. Tzarei Kana Sora. So this is the Mechitza, where we learn out that a Mechitza has 10 Tvachim to be considered a significant partition. But that's not a Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's based upon the Aron, and that is 10 Tvachim. So how can you tell me it's a Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai? Gemara says, you're right. According to this opinion, that the Tefach is 6 Tvachim, the Amma is 6 Tvachim, you're right. I have a source for it. Lo Tzricha, however, we need it, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? The Omar, who says that Amma is a binyon ba'amma basish. He says when you're dealing with buildings in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash, you're dealing normally with a 6 Tefach Amma. But when you're dealing with Kalim, Amas Kalim, the Amma that's used to measure Kalim, such as the Aron, you're dealing with Amma Bas Chamisha. It's only a 5 Tefach Amma. So if the height of the Aron is 1.5 Amos, and you're dealing with a 5 Tefach Amma, so it's 5 and 2.5. It's going to be 7.5. So therefore, you would only have the Aron being 7.5. You wouldn't learn out Mechitza of 10 Tvachim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai that a Mechitza is considered significant if it's 10 Tvachim. Mor says, Ula Rabbi Meir, Diamar Kol Amos, Hayub Veinonis, Michael Meimar. So that was great for Rabbi Huda. What about Rabbi Meir, who says that all the Amos in the Beis Hamikdosh or in the Mishkan were always going to be from the Beinonis, which means the 6 Tefach Amma. Why is it called Beinonis? If it's 6 versus 5, that should be the larger one, because there actually are 3 types of 6 Tefach Ammas. That's the Gemara goes into elsewhere, Rashi brings it down over here, that there was, because of wanting to always make sure that the Beis HaMikdash got the better price when you were dealing with people purchasing something or selling something to the Beis HaMikdash, so you use different size Amas to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash didn't get shortchanged. It's like if you buy a pound of cookies, they always make it a pound and an extra cookie to make sure that you're getting your money's worth. So same thing with the Beis HaMikdash. When a person is selling something to the Beis HaMikdash, so he always gives a little bit more to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Beis HaMikdash never overpays, it underpays. So therefore they use a Amma that was 6 Tfachim, but they also added on, when you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes they added on a full Etzba, and sometimes they added on a half of an Etzba, depending on the preciousness of the item that was being sold or purchased from the Beis HaMikdash. In any event, that's why those are the larger 6 Tefach, and this one is called the Beinonis, the middle-sized 6 Tefach Amma. In any event, according to Rabbi Meir, you always dealt over here with a 6 Tefach Amma, including the Aron. So therefore, you have again the source of 10 according to Rabbi Meir. So Gemara says, Rav Meir, so then what do you need? Any example of Mechitza that's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? Rav Meir, since it's not the Mechitza, the partition of 10 Tvachim, so according to Rav Meir, Kiyosi Hilchoso, where you have Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, in regards to Mechitzos, it deals with the concept of good. You have good osik and good ochis. This is sometimes we halachically view a mechitza as extending upwards. That's osik, it's going up higher. And sometimes we have a mechitza, we view it halachically as going downwards. That's good ochis. And this has other ramifications as well. Pitikra yor v'sosem, that we view a ceiling sometimes as making a right angle and coming down and having a wall there, a theoretical wall, a halachic construct. This is the concept of good. that you can extend up or extend down a wall sometimes, and this is halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai. Likewise, the din of ulilavud, the din of lavud. Lavud is we sometimes view something within three tvachim of something else as being totally enclosed. So, for example, if you make vertical posts and make a mechitza, so how close do the vertical posts have to be in order to be considered a solid mechitza? So, if they're within three tefachim of each other, so they're considered halachically connected. And therefore, you could make a fence that would be a halachic mechitza if made just vertical posts without filling in all the space. But as long as the posts were within three tefachim of each other, it's called lavud. Likewise, if something was within three tefachim of the ground, it's called attached to the ground. It's called lavud. So this is a very important concept. Just an example of halacha l'maisa. Rachmana litzlan, a person sitting shiva, they're supposed to sit on the ground. But if they sit on a low chair within three tefachim of the ground, it's considered as if they're sitting on the chair. That's why the aveilim chairs that we have are within three tefachim. So they're low chairs, they're a little bit more comfortable than sitting on the ground, but they're halachically considered because of the principle of lavud as if you were still on the ground. So that's another area which halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai in regards to mechitzos. And finally, the last one is one we had in yesterday's year, dofen akuma. In a sukkah, we view sometimes the wall as being on a slant. If the ceiling part of the sukkah is not kosher schach, it normally would ruin it. But if it's within four amos of the wall, so then we have the halachic right to say that it's like a bent wall, a dofen akuma, and therefore, in this regard, you can have another halach l'Moshe b'Sinai in regards to this concept of dofen akuma. So this answers up the question how Rav had said that shiurim, mechitzos, and chatzitza are all halach l'Moshe b'Sinai, so these are the examples of how it's halach l'Moshe b'Sinai. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Haya gavoa meyesrim ama ubalimato kamamayit." We had said in the Mishnah that if the korah is more than 20 amah high, so it's totally outside the 20 amah chalul space, so then it's not a good korah. It won't matir the mavoi, so you have to lower it. So haya gavoa meyesrim ama. The Mishnah gave us the eitzah. If you want to make it a kashra mavoi that you can carry in ubalimato, you have to lower it down. Kamamayit, how much do you have to lower it down? I says, really? What type of question is that? Kamamayit, kamadisarklai. Let's say it was 22 amma high, the space, so you have to lower the space 2 ammas. If it was 23 amma high, you have to lower the space 3 amma. And here we're talking about lowering the space. It's very difficult to lower the korah because that's a beam in the air. So it means that you're raising the ground. So how much do you have to raise the ground in order that you're minimizing the space between now your raised ground and where the korah is? So the korah is, let's say, lying on top of a wall. So that can't be lowered further because it will topple down. So it's lying on top of the wall and extending out from the wall. So you have to raise the lintel, you raise the threshold, and in this way you can make it less than a 20 amma space. That's what the Gemara is asking. So kama mai, kama disarkle. So what's your question? You raise it as much as you do to make it less than 20 amma. The Gemara says, no, that wasn't our question. Of course that's right. Ela rochbo b'kama. How big did this raised area have to be? In other words, how much does it have to extend into the mavoi? Can it just be an inch? Can it just be any small amount? So now in that 1 inch, it's going to be less than 20 amas to the korah, but the rest of the mavoi is more than 20 amas. Is that acceptable? How much in does it have to go in order to go and be considered that you raise the ground up and that you have less than a 20 amma space? El Rach Bobakama, how much in do you have to go? Here's a machlokus. Rav Yosef Amar Tefach. It has to be raised in a tefach's worth. As long as we have a tefach's worth, it's raised. So underneath this tefach to the korah, you have less than 20 amas now, even though without the raised area, you'd have more than 20 amas. As long as for one tefach, you've minimized it, you raised it enough that it's less than 20 amma, that would be fine. That's Rav Yosef. Abai disagrees with his rabbi. Abai Amar Arba. It's again masculine term, so it means tefachim, arba tefachim. So Rav Yosef says one tefach, and Abai says no, it has to go in a distance of four tefachim. You have to raise up the ground over an area of four tefachim for this to be considered that you were mamayit, and the korah is going to now be an acceptable korah because over a four tefach area, it is less than 20 amma tall. Gemara says, what are they arguing about? So the Gemara says, Lema b'halkam ifligate. Let us say this is what they're arguing about. Rav Yosef says, a tefach, Abai says, arba. The man, the omer tefach, according to Rav Yosef says, you only need to go in a tefach. He holds, kisover, mutu lishtamish tachas a korah. When we put up a korah, the question is, you're now allowed to carry in the mavoi. But can you carry only on the part that's inside of the korah? Or can you carry underneath the korah as well? So let us say right now, the Rav Yosef says, you're allowed to carry underneath the korah as well. And why is that? So Rashi explains, because we say that it's chudo hachitzon yored v'sosem. We view the outermost part of the Korah as going straight down, and therefore that will be the part going straight down from there. You'll have to carry up to there. So you only need the Tefach, according to Rav Yosef, because that will be recognizable that you're underneath the Korah. As opposed to, we turn to the Omer Aleph, according to Abaye, Uman the Omer, Arba'ah, he says you need four Tefachim to indent in, that you have to fill up the dirt for an area of four Tefachim. So Abaye Sheet is, Kisavar also Lishtam Ishtachas Korah. You can't go and use the area underneath the Korah, and therefore you're not going to see this until it's too late. So you better have something recognizable, a significant four Tefach area that's raised, otherwise you're going to run into trouble. So that's the reason the Gemara wants to suggest is the machlokas between Rav Yosef and Abaye, one tefach for Rav Yosef versus four tefachim for Abaye. But the Gemara says, no, that's not right. Lo. In fact, the kuliyam k'savim mutul l'shtam ishtachas akorah. In fact, both Rav Yosef and even Abaye hold that you're allowed to go use the area underneath the korah to carry in. That's considered part of the mavui. So what are they arguing about? If they all say the kuliyam k'savar mutul l'shtam ishtachas akorah, so what are they arguing about? So Gemara says, this is what they're arguing about. Mar savar korah mishum heker. One opinion says that the Korah is because of a heker. In other words, that the purpose of the Korah is that it should be recognizable. And that will prevent you from going outside into the Sarabim. And all you need is one Tefach in order for it to be recognizable. However, Umar Sovar Korah is Mishum Machitza. The other opinion, Abai's opinion, is that it's not because it's recognizable. It has to function as a real mechitza. And in order for it to function as a real mechitza, it must enclose an area that is significant. What's an area that's significant? Four tefachim. So if this is going to function as a mechitza, it has to be covering up an area of four tefachim. Otherwise, it can't be a mechitza. And that's why Abai says it needs to be raised for an area of four tefachim. One tefach alone would not be enough. This is the first answer that our Gemara gives. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll give additional answers. With this, we conclude today's share.